Greetings, this is James Gillen, broadcasting live from East SETI Ranch. This is As You Wish Talk Radio. We've had some amazing things happening up here, as usual. You know, things are just ongoing. We're having constant flyovers by the ships, which are just ringing our bells. And we're hearing the energies, you know, of the ships as they go over and actually feeling them through our entire bodies. But something is really in the wind, and something... I've been getting this information since, I think it was 1982, and I was very reluctant to put this in the books that I wrote because some of the information there was already so outrageous that I thought maybe it might not be time for this until there's physics to back it up. And I heard Amit Goswami on Coast to Coast, who is actually bringing the new physics in to back up what we're going to talk about tonight. And there's other people like Brooks Agnew, who also has the physics to back this up. And I've also listened to Dolores Cannon, also, who is talking about these same events. And I was always wondering, how could this possibly happen? You know, this 2012 event, what could possibly happen in this event? And or how this could happen, and now it's all becoming very clear. And so I've kind of withheld a lot of this information, which I want to bring through tonight on the show, and we'll get into that real soon. We've had some incredible things happening here with people coming up and helping out, and we've got all of our wood in, we've got all the, everything's buttoned up, the roofs are on, the little outbuildings are pretty much finished, and a little more work on those. But it's just been amazing, the work ethic going on here and just the gratitude, and everybody's just having fun, which is the way it should be, and getting prepared for winter. But, you know, all in all, it's just amazing. And I really see that as the new earth. That's the way I want to live in the future, living in harmony with each other in the land, and, you know, getting close to nature and living simply. That's my idea anyway of how I'd like to, you know, spend the rest of the millennium, you might say. But there are so many, other ideas going on and different, agendas, you might say, which we can talk about tonight. And, I have a great guest tonight. We have Dr. Brooks Agnew. And I know he's on the road delivering some of his famous electric cars, but hopefully we can get him on the air here in a minute. And also we have a really good just information coming from every direction about this new Earth, actually two Earths, a split that happens, and there's a lot more to talk about, but hopefully we can get Brooks on there. Brooks, are you with us? Hello, Brooks. He's not with us yet. He's on the road right now, so it might just be a few minutes. He was telling us he's trying to find a place to pull over and park. But I'll continue with this other information that we've been getting. But, you know, these movies about 2012, it's just, they are so fearful and so much doom and gloom. And yes, the Earth is going to go through a major shift, a major change, and I do believe recently that coming up to 2012, before 2012, there's going to be a lot of healing, a lot of cleansing and shifts on every level. So there's no way of getting around it. We're in it. It's happening right now. And everybody I've been talking to are saying that this November or within the next 5 weeks, there's going to be some major, major events unfolding. And it could be an economic crisis, could be a UFO disclosure. There's a lot of different things, you know, that are, you know, in the works, you might say. And any one of them could happen right now. And I think it's up to the masses as to, you know, what we do and how much support we give to these situations. So there's... some major, major events coming up here in November. I'm also feeling some major earth changes, too, between now and December. So I would keep an eye. I know the Santa Cruz Islands are rocking and rolling. Tonga is rocking and rolling near Fiji. They're having continuous quakes there. There's some major movement. I know the Philippines just had another 6-point-plus quake. So So the Earth is rocking and rolling, and she's expanding, and she's getting ready to go into the next level. So, you know, this is going to be a wild ride coming up here. And I think if we all just kind of keep our heads and learn to work together and not allow all the division and separation and nonsense to happen, and we can pull through these times by just, you know, paying attention to what's happening around us. Pay attention to nature. Pay attention to your feelings, you know, that gut feeling you have that something's up, you know, something's around the corner. And usually when you have that feeling, if you sit and meditate and go deep within that feeling and have that feeling talk to you, it'll give you a heads up on, you know, what's around the corner. But anyway, we're all getting some real clear messages lately about some major events, and I'm going to dial in this information I've been given recently along with some previous information back in 82 and see if I can really fine-tune this information and get it from different sources. Now, the source that gave me this information was Baba G in 1982, and what he said that there would be two Earths and that there would be a division. And it has to do with the consciousness and the vibrational lifting or the ascension process of the Earth itself, not just individuals, but the entire Earth is going to ascend and go on to the next, you know, the next dimension. And the Earth that remains behind is going to go through a major upheaval and a major cleansing. And when I first heard this, I go, you know, this is just too wild. You know, I can't see how do you split Earth in half and create two Earths and the, you know, the energy it would take to do that and the consciousness and the group effort is just phenomenal. But, you know, the more and more and more I've studied this and gotten into the higher physics and also getting shared information from others, the more I'm seeing how it's all possible. And it's, matter of fact, highly, highly probable. And it's probably the only way that we're going to be able to get through these times, because it seems that there is one group that's just hell-bent on taking us through Armageddon, and there's another group that really wants to ascend, you know, and take the upward spiral into that love and that joy and that bliss energy. And you know, it seems like the Armageddon group is just rooted in, and they want a lot of us to leave this planet right now. And thus we're seeing the chemtrails and the HARP projects and the psychotronics and, you know, the flu vaccines and all of these things that are going on right now are part of that program. And so, you know, again, it's a lot of the visionaries I see actually see people just moving out of the system, leaving the system, you know, moving up into communities, getting their own places, you know, just stepping out of this old world and letting it go and focusing on the higher consciousness and energy and stepping into the new world. And, you know, that's seems to be a common theme throughout many of the different prophecies, that there does seem to be a split in one world, actually goes into total chaos and, you know, takes its downward spiral to the end result, you know, which is complete collapse. And another world goes on and takes the upward spiral into living in harmony with each other and the Earth. And, you know, we're seeing that right now. You know, unfortunately, there are people that just are not, you know, hanging on too well. But, you know, with these new energies and, you know, it's a good thing to know too, is there's a lot of people checking out too and deciding they just don't want to be here, you know, through these changes, which, you know, I don't rightly blame them. But, anyway, I think we've got, Dr. Brooks Agnew on the line here. Brooks, are you?
Hello, James.
Oh, great. Great to get you on the show.
Well, it's good to be here. I've just been traveling across the country with a load of electric cars for the plant in Kentucky.
Great. So do you have me on the list there for one of those?
Yeah, you're in alphabetical order.
Okay. Yeah, I want to get my tractor converted over to an electric vehicle. Is that possible?
Sure, that's easy enough.
Or I could just do biodiesel.
Biodiesel's good too. Non-polluting, totally renewable.
Yeah, I know you have your hands in so many pies. You have the electric cars going, and you've got the biodiesel plants, and boy, there's so many different things you're involved in. But, you know, tonight I really wanted to talk to you about one of the presentations you did here, actually at the East City Ranch, where you talked about the evidence and the archaeological evidence as well that kind of shows the Earth is going to go through a shift, and there would actually be two Earths in the future.
Yeah, actually, there were two Earths in the distant past, one of a higher energy and one of a lower, more temporal energy, and they merged together. I believe in the book, the chapter called The Union of the Polarity, we talked about this process ending with the flood of Noah. This was actually the completion of the consolidation of two worlds, one upon which Noah and his family lived, and one upon which another, what was called Lower Adam, existed. And what we see in the paleological record is a very sudden and broad change in the DNA, the genetic dynamics of the planet, both plants, animals, and humans. And the other thing is that we see two different ages of geology on the planet. We see one that's about 4.5 billion years old, and one that appears to be just a very few million years old. And geologists really don't know what to make of this, but if they would just read the Ark of Millions of Years series, they'd know exactly what to make of it. And it seems that as we near 2012, that these two Earths, which right now are in some stage of harmony, are going to go out of phase with one another, and they're going to come apart. Now, the interesting thing about it, and is you picked up on it exactly. In fact, you picked up on it about 10 years before we began writing about it, is that as these two Earths come apart, two different levels or awarenesses of consciousnesses are going to separate with those worlds. Lower conscious will go with the lower world, and higher conscious will go with the higher world. They will just become unaware of each other.
Yeah, and that, you know, it ties into a lot of the old, even the biblical prophecies, a lot of the old prophecies where they talk about where one person will be standing, another one will disappear, and they talk about people just vanishing. And I know it's coming through the web bots, too. They said there's this event where all these people just disappear, and they don't have any rational reason for it. It's just 1 minute they're there, and then they're gone, so...
It actually goes way back before biblical times, maybe 100 or 200,000 years before biblical times. But, you know, it's much more profound than just two people standing in a field and disappearing. We are actually, those of us, you know, that are awake and aware and are absolutely observing the world as it's evolving, we're seeing multiple timelines overlapping each other right now. There are aspects of our own world's past, even our own lives' past, that are overlapping right now, and we cannot clearly distinguish which one is our own personal past and which one is a past from a different lifetime. That's how confusing the energies are getting right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've been seeing that, and I've been stepping back and forth between these other worlds and then healing the past and clearing things up as well. And sometimes I wake up in the morning after meditating and I have to really, like, ground myself to find out where I am again, you know, because they're so real.
You've got to remember which timeline you're on, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going, wait a second, where am I? And then I remember a lot of stuff just fell off of this other program I was doing. Where'd it go, you know?
Well, you know, here's a question for you, James. How many timelines is the E-SETI Ranch on right now?
You know, being on a vortex right here, I'm just seeing right now, There are so many different things going on. I don't even know where to start, and so many other dimensions available to access here that it's getting really hard to place your identity anywhere, for me anyway, because I'm just like letting go of everything and becoming the observer and watching it all unfold.
You know, that's really exactly what we're supposed to do. We as humans, we get so wrapped up in our own mortality, our own sovereignty as mortal beings, we almost begin to impose our reality upon the energy around us. And the first thing that I found when I came to the East City Ranch way back in 2006, sounds like ancient history now, but it really isn't, is I noticed that there was such a flow of energy there that when I stepped out of my mortal regimen, things opened up to me that I haven't noticed since I was 9 or 10 years old. And one of the most remarkable things, when I asked for a show of hands this last July when I was at your place speaking on remembering the future, I asked how many people this was their first time. And you've been, you know, running that event, that Earth Transformation Conference for a number of years. I was amazed about 95% of the people raised their hands. James, that is so profound that hundreds and hundreds of new people found out about your sanctuary up there and they came. That is amazing.
Yeah, I often wondered, like, where were the people that came last time? But
they're off affecting the universe.
I guess they figured it out, got what they needed, and they're moving on with it. That's what happened to me when I ran into this stuff.
Well, I think that's what's happening to the Earth, and as we near 2012, and these two Earths begin to go out of phase, you're going to see exactly what we noticed this last July at the East City Ranch, and that is that all of a sudden there are hundreds of new faces which are enlightened and bright and open, and they get it, and they're full of love, and they're explorers, and it's an amazing transformation.
And that is where it's going. It's amazing because what I found out is that, you know, there's as many worlds as there are people, because everybody's creating their own reality down here and projecting that reality on everybody else. But at the same time, you know, there's I'm looking at this going, that's not my reality. I don't want to participate in that reality. And, you know, having to make some choices and who to interact with, what realities I want to entertain and where I want to go. And, you know, we don't have the luxury anymore of, you know, wallowing in all the other stuff, you know, the other dramas and everything else. The energy is just coming in hot, way too hot and fast right now.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. People get locked into life going paycheck to paycheck or family vacation to family vacation, or some people crisis to crisis. And then they're shown this window where all kinds of ascended masters, some physical and some not physical at the moment, come into their realm of awareness, and they realize, oh my gosh, I've been competing my whole life for a garage full of toys. I missed the point completely.
Yeah, it seems to be it. And you know, that old program, he who dies with the most toys wins, really
you're
wins.
Still dead.
Yeah, you're still dead, and you win a life of ignorance to come back and do it all over again. <You know?
laughs>
That's
exactly
the booby prize. You know, but yeah, it's getting very interesting. I've seen again too that the energies are so intense, and you know, it's really putting people under tremendous stress, both physical stress, mental, emotional stress, and everything. And basically all we got to do is just say, surrender and just go, you know, I just don't want to go there anymore, you know, and even surrender up the disease or whatever else you're dealing with. And the more you go with this shift, the more, you know, control you have of your physical, it becomes less dense physical. And the more you have, you know, control of your environment and everything else, and ultimately the last step is giving up control, you know, over to the source within. But it seems everybody's on that path to one degree or another right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know if everybody is or not. You know, I'm like you, but I get out, you know. I get off the ranch from time to time. And, and what I see is a grand society that is vacillating between fear and ignorance. But there are a few who are awake, and they're actually becoming like little torches of light out there, and they're beginning to attract these people away from where they're locked into solids and they're locked into scarcity, like, oh my gosh, I don't have enough money to make it through the month, or oh my gosh, my 401k just lost 75% of its value. And they start realizing that the only thing that exists is the now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they discover their own sovereignty, and then just exactly what you said, they discover that they are source. And then the fear begins to melt away, and everything changes around them.
But, you know, that the responsibility behind that is just enormous, to realize that, you know, if you are source, then you have to take responsibility for everything that you're experiencing in your life. And it doesn't mean that, to me, I've always felt that it doesn't mean that, you know, these experiences are going to go away. It just means that you have no attachment to them anymore. A lot of times, you know, I have this theory, and I know a lot of people throw mud at it, you know, but, you know, it's like, it's like if I was gone tomorrow, would this system still be in place? Would it still be operating and everything else? My answer would be yes, you know, not to me, because I'm gone, but yes, it has a life of its own, and there's 7 billion people participating in this evolutionary process that they're under. And so, you know, I see that, as far as creating your own reality, we made a choice to come here knowing what was happening here on the planet, knowing that it definitely needed help. And there's waves and waves of souls that have incarnated here to help at this time. And, you know, we don't want to lay a guilt trip on us for some of the things happening around us. And we don't want to be a victim either. And we don't want to get into blame. But, you know, what I see is that, okay, it's happening. It's been happening. It's been going on for a long time. What are we going to do about it? And, you know, how are we going to bring forth a positive change, you know, in this experience?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most important thing to say in, if you want to call this an awareness movement, then we can call it that. Because the natural thing to do when people realize that they never die, that they're eternal beings having a mortal experience, the natural thing to do is to disconnect from the world, to retreat from the world, to go to the wilderness, to back off and become disengaged. That is the natural thing to do. That's what all free peoples have done for 100,000 years. But that's actually why this earth still exists, and why so many billions of souls have come here to experience mortality at this moment. Because that's exactly the wrong thing to do. When you become aware and you become energized with this new knowledge of your real power and your real sovereignty, it's to not disengaged, but to become very engaged and try to elevate this reality, this particular moment and place in the universe, because we're just talking about a time and a distance. The universe is really a singularity at the speed of light, but it's slowed down now, so that we can savor the very aroma of mortality. And the idea is that this planet is about to go through her evolutionary throes and become paradisaical. And it's us as a symbiotic, intelligent being that is going through it with her. And the idea is to be engaged with the Earth and care for the Earth and all the souls upon it, so that we can go through it together as one glorious being, all different consciousnesses participating as one glorious being. And that's what I see in the faces of the people that come to your ranch, is they realize that they are fully engaged in the planet and they're empowered as sovereign beings.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we're doing here is that what I find out is today, I actually worked in getting all the gardens together. You know, we did a lot of wood cutting and got things together. But, you know, just being out in the garden, in the dirt, you know, getting all the manure spread, you know, and just tapping into the land, saying, okay, what goes here, what goes here? And we work with the nature intelligence of the land and divining rods to say, okay, you know, to make sure we're not stepping on anybody's toes. But just by being in that space and being, it's so healing. It's amazing. It's so grounding. It's healing. You feel good. You know, you can see that at the end of the day, the work you've done. And, you know, it's unbelievable. And I just think people need to get out of their cubicles, you know, and out of their little apartments and their offices or whatever, and start getting their hands in the dirt, in the ground, and start putting in their own gardens and just get a little closer to nature. You know, I think Chief Seattle was talking about that. He said when you get away from nature, your heart hardens. You know, you start getting a hardened heart, and you
well, that's
become,
true. I mean, we were born to be an agrarian people. We weren't, you know, really born to live in a concrete jungle and live in glass towers. We were meant to be part of this earth and to be in her rhythm and to have her be symbiotic with our rhythm. And when we take ourselves out of that and we worry about, you know, whether we have a suitable savings account or whether we have a new car or whether we have a big house or the finest clothes, we lose purpose with why we are here.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we're so afraid of social consciousness, you know, and being kicked out of the herd. And what's sad about that, too, is I mean, I know friends that see nature spirits, they see the higher beings appear and everything else, and I see them too, you know, and we work in conjunction with these beings, and, you know, and then we have other people going, well, how do you know you're not just psychotic, you know? How do you know that it's just your imagination, or how do you, and you can't really, you know, you don't really want to defend yourself or get into that level. But when you've got all these people having the same experience, seeing detailed, you know, beings and having, you know, those experiences, and then you have the photographs to prove that this is going on. I don't know if you saw it, but we had something that happened here. It was so amazing. We had a Japanese monk here named Khan, and he teaches the Kunlun and some other practices as well. And he was here, and the guy's just so blissed out. He's like a big samurai warrior, but he's just pure bliss now, you know, because he's reached that, he went through the warrior state, and now he's in this totally evolved state. But he just walks around looking at all the different beings here, you know, and having a good time. And he was out in the field with his cell phone, and this light started coming down to him, and he took three pictures of this light. And the first picture was this green light starting to appear. The second picture was all of these orbs appearing, and the third picture was an undeniable picture of Kuan Yin appearing right in the middle of the field out here, the field we do the sky watches in. And then, so I asked him, I said, and I meditated with Ezekiel, and I said, can you ask Ezekiel to appear to you and get a photograph of him? This is no flash, nothing. And so he's out in the field, and it starts coming to him. He just starts laughing and laughing when Ezekiel comes, because it's just bliss energy. And he looks up and he sees this, and he takes a picture of it. And here's this huge golden white ball of light, which is, he's just a pure energy being. It's actually a male and female combined, which is Kasiya and Ezekiel of the past. And behind the light, you can see the dome of the rock, and like this whole portal opened up to another place. Just incredible. And Michal Led was, you know, was, he saw the picture. I showed it to him, and he goes, that looks like the Dome of the Rock. He said, it was a mind blower. So, I mean, these events are happening. They're being photographed now. The feeling that comes with them is undeniable. And like never before, I mean, we had events happen here before, but nothing like what's happening now. And, you know, and then you have this other sect out there just saying, you know, these guys are total Looney Tunes, you know.
You know, I was I did a lot of traveling this month, and I took one semi-load out to Kentucky, and I turned right around, got on a plane, flew back to Idaho. And as I was flying back to Idaho, all the planes were full, of course. The two people that were sitting next to me, I won't mention what church they belonged to, but they were both religious people, and we got into a conversation about energy and, you know, various things like that. And at the end of the flight, the plane landed. They said, "Well, we can tell that you're a very religious man, and we appreciate you talking to us." And I said, "Well, actually, nothing could be further from the truth. I'm not a religious man, but I would like to consider myself a spiritual man. And there's a big difference between the two. I'm not locked into the dogma and the philosophies of men." But the difference between someone who's spiritual and someone who's religious is the latter is afraid of going to hell, and the former has already been there.
Yeah.
The idea behind this is that the Earth, the whole solar system, in fact, is going through a section of the galaxy that it has not been through in a long, long time. And the solar wind is so quiet right now, way down around 300 kilometers per second, that it can no longer buffet against the cosmic wind that's coming in from this section of the galaxy, which means that just about now, the leading edge of that wind has made all the way through the heliosphere, which is a very, very low breeze right now, a solar breeze, I'll call it, not a wind, that now those particles and those frequencies are reaching the Earth, and they are affecting the planet, and they are affecting the beings and the DNA on this planet. And it's switching on things that have been dormant in the human being for a long, long time. And those awarenesses are lighting up. And when I mentioned to these two very religious people something about this new energy coming into the universe, coming into our solar system, coming into our bodies, and switching things on, they immediately knew what I was talking about. And it didn't come from their religious teachings. It came from the feeling that they already have but couldn't explain inside their bodies.
You know, that's great. I said one time, I started off the program, but I go, you know, everybody's feeling it. There's something on the horizon. You know, what is it? You know, and I was going, is it this? Is it this? Is it this? And basically it was all the above. And you know, everybody said that. They said when you started that show, you know, we all felt it. We're all feeling something is happening. Something really big is on the horizon. And you know, but they don't really know what it is, but they have this deep inner feeling that it means a great transition in the future.
Well, that's why we have great teachers like you out there, because you are out there saying, you know, this is a little bit like the movie Cocoon. You remember when they were swimming in the pool and these old men got out of the pool and they just felt so invigorated and they... Mm-hmm. They felt energized because of the new energy that was in that water. Well, that's sort of what's going on right now. There's a sparkling effervescence that's beginning to react like oxygen and an alcohol flame inside of people. And fortunately, there are great teachers like you out there saying, this is what the flame is. And maybe scientists like me that are saying, and this is why it is happening.
Yeah.
You know, realize that you are a piece of God.
You know, I consider people like you my left brain. You know, it's after I had the drowning experience, you know, my right brain blew wide open, and I was very practical and more scientific and everything. Then the right brain blew wide open, and I would get all this information, and then I'd go back to you guys for the physics behind it so I could understand it. And that's why I love your work and the work that you're doing and others. And now it's you know, because when I get this information, I'm just going, no, that can't be right. You know, there's no way. I can't talk about this. And then when I find out all the latest breakthroughs in quantum physics explains this perfectly, you know, then it, you know, it gives me that ammo I need to go out there and go public and deal with it on that level. Yeah.
Well, you're exactly right. And the quantum physics, it's kind of a catch-all for people who don't study physics on a regular basis. And for those of you that are casually reading theoretical physics, and I highly recommend that you continue to do so, Brian Greene and Fred Allen Wolf and Dr. Michio Kaku, and of course read the books that we've written, what will happen is the things that you thought were absolutely fringe, that couldn't possibly be true, things like time travel and multiple dimensions and beings that exist on multiple planes of consciousness, and consciousness itself affecting the manipulation and the very appearance of matter in our own dimension. These are very openly and very rapidly and deeply being discussed in the physics community right now.
You know, exactly. I noticed that Amit Goswami was talking about how that they kept arguing with him that there is no signal between consciousness and matter, so it can't affect matter. And, you know, the other, I think, was it Niels Bohr, or what was the one, action at a distance, or where things are in constant communication instantaneously. There doesn't need to be a signal. And you really look at this whole thing of where all the latest information, where they are coming to the crossroads, where they are realizing, you know, even Bruce Lipton's work is showing that the cells, that whole, our whole bodies are being animated by an outside intelligence. 70% of our bodies are, you know, because we don't have the genes available to run these bodies. So it really is all boiling down to, as consciousness is cause, and this physical world is just the hard copy or the effect.
Well, that's true. You know, in physics, we call this the observation effect, and it even goes so far as to say that things cannot be real unless there is a consciousness there to observe it. Now, that's really, really profound for physics to say, but because what it implies is that there had to be a primary consciousness in the universe, which religion would call God, but which those of us, you know, in more esoteric worlds would call Source, and that this primary consciousness sort of observed matter into being. And if you want to think of it from quantum physics, let's say you were a photon traveling at the speed of light through the universe. Well, we understand from the mathematics of it that at the speed of light, mass becomes infinity, time becomes zero, which means distance becomes zero, and all it takes is one more assumption to realize that the entire universe, the whole thing, is a singularity, which means that at the speed of thought, or the speed of light, everything in the universe is perceivable. There is no past, there is no future, everything is perceivable at once. Now, slow things back down to where we are, much slower than the speed of light, and things stretch way out like a big ruler, hundreds of billions of light years long, and we see it as very, very distant and very imperceptible. But in reality, our soul can perceive everything. So one has to ask the question, why would our individual souls, the things that's inside of our biological transducer we call a body, why in the world would we spend so much energy to slow things down to this point? This little funny thing I have on my wrist going tick, 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 tick. It is for the experience. It is for the learning. It is for the savoring of time, one moment at a time, not all at once.
Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. At the speed of light, everything's perceivable. That totally adds up to, you know, as you move up in the vibrational continuum to your higher dimensional selves, you become more and more aware of the multiverses. Your perceptions just become more and more vast on each level. And, you know, that all ties in because your frequency would be higher and you'd be going closer to the speed of light and eventually beyond light into just pure consciousness.
That's correct. And what happens to fear when you reach that point of awareness?
Well, I mean, it's a frequency. It can't make it. You know, it's right. too dense of a frequency.
It doesn't resonate any longer. It doesn't resonate. It can't get any energy, and it can't exist. Mm-hmm. And if fear doesn't exist, then you realize Godhood. And that's what I think is the purpose of life. That's why beings have come from so many different star systems to here now. And my gosh, James, you know how many first-timers there are on this planet?
Oh, yeah. I know this. A lot of these new waves of these kids incarnating are coming from extremely high dimensions and planes and civilizations that have already totally got their act together. And, you know, they're coming in just looking around going, oh, my God. You know, and their work
is
cut out for them.
The interesting thing is that the lead beings, and I'll just call them the forward scouts, started mm-hmm. coming in the mid-50s. A few at a time, a few handfuls at a time. Some of them fell into the trap of physicality and mortality and, you know, gaining the most toys and taking advantage of this world. Some of them died because their bodies became diseased or they got involved in war or slavery or oppression of some kind or another. But some of them are still around, these lead scouts, and like you and your brother and like Michal Ledwith and others, who at first got locked into religiosity because it was very close to the spiritual power we were used to, but then they graduated from it, and they realized the physics of it, like Ramtha coming back and channeling through E.J. or
Jay-Z
Knight. You know, there's a small handful, maybe less than a dozen, on the whole planet. And fortunately, because of networks like BBS Radio, we're able to get our voices out there, and thousands, perhaps millions of people are hearing this word, and they're realizing who they are and what makes sense to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how, and I see a lot of the mainstream networks are actually going in the other direction. Even some of the talk shows are going back into the old paradigm, the old program, and thinking that's safe. And it's not safe. If you don't align with this new world coming in, there is no security in that. And they're, you know, continuing to perpetuate all the, you know, the fear and the lack and the, you know, get your flu shot, do this, do that, you know, you name it. It's unbelievable. And you go, whoa, wait a minute, you know. And to one degree or another, there's still, some are still playing both sides of the fence. They're not really, and they know better. They know what's coming in. They know they've got to get going, you know. But, you know, hopefully these new energies coming in will light a fire under them, and they'll just say enough's enough and start telling it like it is.
Well, they got to realize there is not much time because we are on the crescendo. 2012 is less than, well, it's 3 years away till the absolute crescendo of it. And we have been warned by ancient societies, the Mayans, the Toltecs, the Zapotecs, the Egyptians, the Sumerians, they all tried to tell us of this day. Now, I don't want to be, you know, presumptuous, James, but I don't think our generation would warn a generation 2,000 years or 10,000 years or 25,000 years in the future. And one has to ask the question, who were these people 25,000 years ago that went through so much effort to leave a message in stone or metal or crystal for those of us here this day? The only logical answer is it was us. We did it. We left the message so that when we incarnated at this moment, at this time, we would remember who we are and why we are here and what we're supposed to be doing. We left the message for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does make sense. Now, you know, my feeling is that I know before this split happens, two Earths, you know, that kind of separate and go on their merry ways, my feeling is that we are going to go through some major changes, some major Earth changes up until that point. And it's part of the new Earth getting ready to be birthed or to move into, you know, her new frequency or vibration or dimension, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I'm seeing an incredible, you know, escalation in earthquake and volcanic activity. And it seems, you know, things are just really getting ready to bust loose. Are you seeing that, too, as a geologist? I know you keep on top of that.
Well, yes. And that's what we wrote in the three books. There are going to be cataclysmic changes to the earth. And there are some common sense things that people should be doing, like moving away from the coastlines, getting into the mountains, getting behind a mountain range, put a mountain range between you and the ocean, because the Earth is going to go through some cataclysmic changes as these two Earths begin to come apart. There are dissidents, there are interferences between the energies, between the frequencies that are going to result in upheavals of this planet. Now, it's a little bit of a warning voice. I'm not saying go see the movie 2012, but that's the scale of cataclysm that the ancients tried to warn us of, and the ancients being us. So why don't you use a little common sense and get to the mountaintops and get into the valleys where people like James are, and get out here in Kentucky and watch it on the news instead of in the rearview mirror of your car. Because it's going to come on very, very quickly. The Earth is going to go through these changes. And the idea and the reason why you came here is to go through those changes with her. And you have a part to play. So wake up, listen to the frequencies. And by the way, the movie tries, I haven't seen the movie, but I understand that it tries to play sort of a religious overtone to it, like, gee, if you believed in God, none of this would happen. Don't believe that for a moment. You are part of all of this, and it is all part of your design to be here during this time. Now, if you want to be at ground zero and get swept away with all the grains of sand and the cities that are lining the coasts of the world, fine. But if you want to survive and you want to ascend with the Earth, then take heed and listen to the frequencies and get in sync with the Earth.
Oh, I agree 100%. I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I'm just going to ascend with the other world and I'm not going to have to worry about all these changes because they're going to happen after that, after 2012. And I just said, you know, I don't think you have the luxury of sitting on your but, you know, and waiting, you know, everybody holding hands and ascending. I said, you know, there's a lot of preparation on every level, not just the physical level, but the mental, emotional, and spiritual levels to get through these shifts and these times. And it's time, you know, for all of us to get busy.
You know, one of the things that people have to pay attention to is that there are about 6.7 billion souls on the earth alive right now. Mm-hmm. After the cataclysm, there are going to be far less physical bodies out there in which to incarnate. It takes hundreds and hundreds of years, sometimes thousands of years, to get the population of Earth where it is right now. This allows a lot of consciousness to be embodied on the planet at the same time. And this might be one of the few times when the Earth has been at this level of mortal consciousness. In fact, it may be that the Earth has never had this many mortal consciousnesses on it at the same time. It's a very, very powerful time in the Earth's existence.
Yeah, and going back to that premise, that consciousness creates reality, you know, we could actually move this entire Earth into a new time if everybody woke up at once and changed
Precisely.
The timeline. You know, there's so many possibilities that could happen. Personally, I pray for, you know, I go by the praise Allah, tie your camel, you know, and, you know, I pray for the best and prepare just in case, you know, people don't figure it out in time. But,
you're exactly right. We can shift the mean consciousness of this part of the universe if enough people wake up at the same time. That's why you and I are on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's tricky because you want to warn people that, look, you know, we really got to get it together. There are things coming down the pike. And, you know, even Nostradamus was saying that, look, I'm giving you the worst case scenario so you can change it. But if you don't get your act together here, you know, this is what's going to be happening. So, you know, and I, to me, the momentum of, you know, 7 billion people going in a certain direction, to be able to put the brakes on that or re-guide that in a certain way, that's going to take a huge effort. And I know the present leadership we have right now is so far has not stepped up to the plate, you know, to do that. And in matter of fact, it's taken in the opposite direction. So,
well, the
you know,
present leadership is a reflection of the selfishness of humanity and also the abdication of our own sovereignty. And that's one of the reasons why I think you and I are so energetic about it and we spend so much time out there talking about it, is because we want people to realize their own sovereignty, take responsibility for their own life condition, as shocking as it might be, and let's move this planet.
Exactly. You know, I think, you know, once we, you know, hook up with the higher aspects of self and start operating from those levels, all the rest is just going to fall away. You know, it's like the two wolves fighting inside of you, you know. You've got the good wolf and the bad wolf, and the one that wins is the one you feed. So if we keep feeding this dark beast that's going on right now and don't pull out of it and stop feeding it, it's going to do its thing. And I think it's time to start feeding the white wolf, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, there are people out there preaching, and they're being listened to, that mortality is just an illusion. So just back off from it and be blissful and grow old and die. We're here to tell you this is not an illusion. It's very real, and your consciousness is a very important part of this reality, of this world. And we need you. We can't make it without you.
Oh, I agree. You know, I have a lot of people saying this is all illusion, so it doesn't matter, you know, and I'm going to ascend and bilocate, you know, when things hit the fan, it's not going to be a problem for me. And I said, well, I've got two questions for you. One, you know, have you bilocated lately or levitated? And they go, no. And I said, the other question is, see that big tree over there? Take a run at it, you know, and then get back to me and tell me what an illusion it was, you know. And that usually kind of dispels that program right away.
Yeah. Next time you have a pain, realize that it just testifies to you that you're alive.
Yeah.
That you're supposed to be doing something here.
Exactly. Boy, you know, it's been awesome having you on the show. You know, this conversation, I think, could go on for about 4 more hours. But unfortunately, we're running out of time. I wanted to get your information if people want to contact you or get a hold of your books or videos.
Sure. The website's really simple. It's just ArcOfMillionsOfYears.com. That's ARK, like Noah's Ark, ArcOfMillionsOfYears.com. And maybe we can continue this conversation. Why don't you come on my program tomorrow night and we'll carry it on?
I might. I think I can do that, actually.
Well, that's cool.
That's at 5, isn't it?
Yes, it's 5 to 8 Pacific.
Let's do that.
Right here on BBS Radio.
Sounds good. We'll do that, and I'll put it on the web and let everybody know.
Cool.
Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I can't wait to get back in touch with you and continue in this conversation. There's so much more I wanted to talk about, and I guess we'll...
Yeah, well, just to tell your listeners, don't forget it's on Station 2. You're on Station 1, and right here on BBS Radio. So just tune in tomorrow night, and we'll take this to the next level.
Awesome.
We just scratched the surface tonight.
Yeah. Well, continue on your journey. Safe driving, and thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, James. See you tomorrow night.
All right. Well, this is James Gilliland signing off with As You Wish Talk Radio. Have a great evening, and don't get into fear. Just pay attention and do something. Have a good night.